you very much. This quarter we're studying the epistles of John. John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Don't know what Roger covered last week on the book, so just kind of start in, and if we duplicate, we duplicate. This book was written, all three of these letters were written probably around somewhere between 80 and 90 A.D. John, of course, wrote the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. He also wrote his gospel, which was the last of the four gospels. And then he wrote these three epistles. The interesting thing about John was, he was basically the last writer to write in the New Testament, he got to observe what was written beforehand and then write what he thought was important. Thus, we'll see in the book of John that there's very few things about miracles, very few things about parables, very few things about some of the things that Christ did that the other three would comment on and John wouldn't comment at all. So he wrote a letter and his books on what was kind of, quote, the final say. And thus, when a person does that, usually this means this is the most important. It's as if you knew that you were going to pass away in the next year and you were going to write to all of your friends and children a letter. Obviously, you would put down what you would consider the most important things that you've learned in life. So we're going to look at the beginning of 1 John this morning. But before we do that, I get mixed up very often. And sometimes people tell me I get mixed up very often, so I know it's a fact. So I need some help on clarifying some things before we get started. When you hear the word truth, what does that mean to you?
Not a lie.
Not a lie. Fair enough. What else does truth, we have the truth. Or some people say, I know the truth. What are we talking about? What is truth?
The light.
Pardon?
The light.
Light.
Information that can be trusted.
Information that can be trusted.
And believe
it. You can believe in it. Okay? Those are nice little broad definitions.
Truth makes me see the person of Jesus Christ.
Okay, truth makes you see a certain person, in this case, Jesus Christ. What else is there about the truth?
It's undisputed to me. The lack of the truth is something that can't be disputed.
Can't be disputed.
Exactly.
We'll come back to that one.
It's not twisted by opinion.
Not twisted, kind of like undisputed. Okay. Give me some examples, pardon?
Firsthand,
come back to that one. Give me some examples of truth.
I love my wife. Don't say a word. It's clear as it stands.
There's always a man in the congregation that tries to score points with me. We'll take you at your word. Give me some more. Truth.
Gravity.
Absolute. If you stand and jump off a 5-story building, is there any doubt which way you're going? See, that's good. Give me some religious truth.
Set you free.
Pardon?
It'll set you free.
Truth will set you free. Okay, that's interesting.
God is love.
God is love. You sure? Okay.
If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you say. But if you tell something else, you better remember it. It'll come back and hit you.
Okay. That makes good sense. Truth. What's truth?
Salvation comes through Christ.
Salvation comes through Christ? Absolutely. What else?
Everlasting life. We're promised everlasting life if we, believe in Christ.
Okay. Okay. What else?
The second coming of Christ.
Pardon me?
The second coming. He's coming back again.
You know that for a fact?
Yes.
Okay. What else?
7 days of the Sabbath.
Huh? Sorry.
The 7 days of the Sabbath. That's the truth.
Okay. How come you didn't mention that first?
It doesn't have any more bearing than any of the others.
Okay. What else is truth?
God's word.
What's truth in North Richland Hills?
I don't know that there's anything specific to North Richland Hills. That's
all right. That's fair. Nothing wrong with that. Pardon?
He was not there at the moment.
Oh, that's it. Well, there is a truth.
I was just going to say, somebody sort of alluded to this earlier. The truth just is. It doesn't need to be explained. If the truth just is.
You know, I love Trent, but what in the heck does that mean? You know, Trent, you got to get down on my level. Truth is, I don't have to explain it. Okay, that's fair enough, Trent. Yes?
In a court of law, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay.
I think that's rather underscoring the importance of truth.
Okay. What's truth in Kerrville?
Same as everywhere else.
Oh.
Facts.
Now, I told y'all I was going to get around to Norman. About 1965, I've known Norman since 1961. In 65, I think it was, I was selling Bible books in the summer, student call porter. And I stayed with Norman's folks and Norman up in Petersburg outside of Lubbock. And Norman changed my entire life. And I've never forgiven him yet. I was all set to go to PUC. And Norman says to me, towards the end of August, he says, "Well, I'm going up to Union. Why don't you come and go to Union with me?" And as I said last night, I do what I generally do. I give it about 5 minutes of thought. And then I said, "Well, sounds good to me." So I changed my plans and went to Union. Well, there's two things I should have known better. One was when I went into the registrar and Max Trevino, who's now our Union Conference president, was there. And he starts laughing and he says, "You mean you're going to try to get into Union?" That should have been my first clue. And the second clue, which I don't like about Norman, was he never told me about the winners up there. So my no telling where I would have been today if I'd have gone to PUC like I was supposed to, but instead I went to Union. But Norman's a dear friend, and we appreciate him. So Kerrville truth is not a whole lot different than anywhere else. Okay. How come when I ask you for definitions of truth outside of the seventh-day Sabbath, y'all didn't give me a bunch of doctrines? I didn't hear you got to pay tithe, what kind of meat we should eat. How come? Pardon?
It's all-inclusive.
You go to the same school that Trent goes to?
That's interpretation of the truth as somebody decides what they think that should look like.
Okay. Well, then I have a fair question because I only ask fair questions. At some time in your life, surely not now, but sometime in your life when you were asked, "What do Seventh-day Adventists believe?" what did you list?
Doctrine.
Pardon?
Doctrine.
Such as? We go to church when? We eat what? Good morning. How are you doing? You look very nice this morning.
Start listing the differences.
Why?
state of the dead.
Pardon?
The state of the dead.
State of the dead? Why? Pardon? Why?
That's sort of what they're asking. They kind of know that you're Christian. What they want to know is what's different about you from other Christians.
And do we give them a... And that, I believe that's absolutely correct. So do we give them the right answer?
There's a tendency to give them a lot of we don't answers. We don't do this, we don't do that.
Why?
We don't go to movies.
Yeah. Why?
I just think that maybe we thought we were, I mean, we were maybe taught that way, that we were maybe receiving that from the top level sources. So we thought that that's what we needed to say.
You mean we were waterboarded into those answers?
Well, I'm just saying, I think that we understand differently what relationship with Christ is about, more than, you know, the doctrine being the guiding force.
Do you understand, and I certainly was guilty of that, believe me, do you understand what a tremendous damage we did to God and to our church and to ourselves to come back with those answers?
We do the same thing as Jews did. We focus on legalism instead of God's love.
Absolutely. If you ask a Pharisee in the time of Christ, how do you know that you're a chosen person of God? What would they give you? Lineage. Well, we're a member of a church. So see, we do the same thing. We put out our lineage. Look at us. Look at all the things that we do. So what is truth? Is there a difference between truth and truth that matters? I want you to think about that for a second. Is there a difference between truth and truth that matters?
Truth is truth, but what matters is what matters.
Trent, do you run a correspondence school?
What happens to the truth that doesn't matter?
Pardon me?
What happens to the truth that doesn't matter?
That doesn't matter? Good morning, sir.
Hey.
Good morning. Do you have something you'd like to share?
Just doing a drive-by again.
Oh. Okay. Always.
You. Okay.
That's fine. So your question?
So what about the matter, the truth that doesn't matter?
Okay. What about the truth that doesn't matter?
Doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't make any difference?
What does
that mean?
I don't think there's any difference between the truth and the truth that matters, that first question that you asked. Because, like they're saying, the truth is the truth. So just tagging on the words that matters doesn't make it any different than the truth.
Okay. All right. So if somebody asked you something about, let's say, our church, and we have a long list of 100 truths, does it matter which one you give them?
Are those truths?
Yes.
Our doctrine. What are those? The truth is Jesus.
I just ask questions. I don't answer questions.
Those aren't truths. They may be doctrines, or they may be rules, or they may be ideas or thoughts. But are you saying, are they true, or are they the truth? Because the truth is Jesus.
I'm just asking what truth. Who said no?
Confused.
Did somebody say no or yes or? Pardon? What did you say?
Same thing she was saying. Jesus is the only truth.
Are you sure?
Yes, that's what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
I would think out of the 100, you would give the ones that are most important to you and
ones that are most important that show difference in the others.
Okay.
The timing can make a difference and circumstances. If you're
okay.
In eclipse and
okay.
Being down, gravity matters a lot more than some other okay. Time.
Okay. So a man comes to you that is hungry. And we have this whole table of truth that we can share with him. Does it make a difference what truth we give him?
No.
Brain.
No?
His brain is circumstance.
Is he hungry for food? I may not be following you here.
Did I not start the lesson out by saying sometimes people will tell me that I'm off base? He's hungry. Hungry.
He just wants some food, I'm thinking. I would just want some food if I'm hungry.
Just asking the questions. Does it make what difference to truth that we give him?
So you're talking about truth that matters. It's like if he's hungry for food, you don't have to convince him to keep the Sabbath or whatever other truth before you feed him. You feed him first.
Okay.
I think you'd have to get inside his mind and see what he needs and give him that truth.
He's just told me I'm hungry. Yes, Pastor?
Does he have teeth? I don't mean that to be humorous. Circumstances make a difference. You look at like the people liberated from the death camps after the Second World War.
Absolutely.
They probably would have loved a steak, but it would have killed them to have one.
Absolutely. So I go back to my original question. Does it make a difference what truth we give a person?
Yes.
Who said yes? All right. Does it make a difference? Or do we just randomly pick a truth to give them?
Well, if you live the truth, you don't have to give them anything. Until they ask.
Okay. All right.
A man of reason for the hope that's within
okay.
You. Ask.
All right. Now, we've had a good time with this, but let's put ourselves in the shoes of the Apostle John. John has some churches in about 70, 80, 90 A.D., somewhere in that time frame, that there's lots of problems within the church. Remember, these are second and third generation Christians. And during this time, they have people from within the church that said, do you understand that when Jesus came down to this earth, he was really still God and he never took on humanity at all? And then you had some within the church that said, you know, we're really getting away from some of our Jewish customs that we ought to be keeping. Sound familiar? And so you had discussions going on within the churches that were tearing the churches apart. Now my question is, when John decided to write his epistle, did it make any difference which truth he chose to write and share with this church that was having all of these problems?
Yeah, you address whatever is bothering the person. You address what they wanted to hear, not what you want to tell them, but you find out what they're wanting to know.
Okay. And how do you address that? There are several options.
Well, you listen to them and you try to understand where they're coming from.
You talk about if a person's hungry. I work with foster kids that will eat themselves sick. They're not actually hungry. They don't know how, because of their experiences, they don't know how to stop because they don't know if they're ever going to eat again.
They're trying to fill a different need.
They're trying to fill mm-hmm. a different need. So mm-hmm. if I keep feeding them food, that could be the most detrimental thing to them because they'll get physically sick. But these kids literally will not stop eating.
Okay.
Some of them.
Okay. Now, in the first epistle that John wrote, there's 105 verses in it. What's the dominant theme of those 105 verses? Remember, the church is falling apart. There's infighting. There's doctrinal fighting. Some are saying that Jesus was really not human, that He did not go through temptation, that He was still God. All of these problems, He has a short letter to write. He can't understand their thinking. He's not there. He doesn't have time to have a discourse back and forth. So He does one thing. So what's the prominent theme in 105 verses?
God is real and He loves you.
And He saw Him. I think He started off telling them, this is not theoretical.
Okay.
I'm telling you what I know.
Yeah.
My experience.
Jesus is mentioned in 105 verses, 45 of the verses. Now, here's a tough question. You might have heard it before, but in. How do treasury agents learn to detect counterfeit hundreds? Pardon? Why not study all the counterfeit ones? Who said that? Very good. You study the original. You study it so well that you know it so well that when a fake one comes across, you see it immediately. Doris Kern Goodwin, who wrote the definitive book on the life of Abraham Lincoln, spent 10 years writing the book, Pulitzer Prize winner. And she said when she wrote about the assassination of Lincoln that she wept for days because she had lost one of her dearest friends. She had been so engrossed for 10 years in the life of Abraham Lincoln that when she wrote of his death, it affected her. John had one shot at this church where he wrote this epistle. He could have traced back from the Old Testament time all the text on Messiah and who He was. He could have gone back through a list of doctrines and said, hey guys, don't you understand what's important? We do this and we do this. He could have done that. But instead, He decided to share with them the truth that does matter. There is truth, but there is truth that matters. So, I want to use Philip's translation. I like Philip for two reasons. One, he got the passage of 1 John 1 through 4 down perfectly. And number two, he dedicated his book to his wife and his critic. Get that one? Wife and critic. So that's why I like Philip. Both reasons. All right, I want you to listen to what John wrote immediately to this church that was torn up, infighting, fighting over doctrines, fighting over certain practices, and let's see what he chose to share with truth that matters. Take off.
This is 1 John 1. We are writing to you about something which has always existed, yet which we ourselves actually heard and saw with our own eyes. Something which we had opportunity to observe closely and even to hold in our hands. Something of the Word of Life, for it was life which appeared before us. We saw it, we are eyewitnesses of it, and are now writing to you about it. It was the very life of all ages, the life that has always existed with the Father, which actually became visible in person to us. We repeat, we really saw and heard what we are now writing to you about. We want you to be with us in this fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. We write and tell you about it so that our joy may be complete.
Okay. All right, do you get the picture of the truth that matters? He did not attack or defend the humanity or non-humanity or the divinity of Christ. He did not lay down a bunch of facts. The facts were the truth. But did those facts make a difference? Absolutely not. Seventh day Sabbath. Truth. Is that the truth we have to share with a world that is hungering for the love of God? Tithe paying. Truth. Is that the truth that the world is hungering for? What to eat and not to eat. Truth. Is that the truth the world is hungering for? Yes.
Some question.
Sure.
The real modern-day application.
Okay.
Okay, when you work in an Adventist school, when you have parents who come in who are not Adventist, and they say to you, so what does Seventh-day Adventist believe?
What do you say?
I know what I think.
Okay. Well, I think
I want to hear what other people think.
I think that's an absolute fair question. I'll tell you what I used to say, and then let's throw it open for discussion. I used to say, we're Seventh-day Adventists. We believe that God gave us the seventh day Sabbath, where you folks go to church on Sunday. We believe that there are certain meats that we shouldn't eat because they're not clean. And we believe that when you die, you go to sleep instead of going to heaven. And we believe in baptism by immersion. And now can you see why you're a sinner and I'm not? Didn't say the last word, that sentence. I just implied it. Yes.
It says if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Okay. All right, we're going to come back to that one. All right, what do you say or what did you say? Let's deal on the positive. What do you say? I think that's an excellent question.
Ben stands up.
Oh, where?
Okay. What I say. And basically, I tell them, and Juanita knows this, that I believe that the Seventh-day Adventists have the truth. Okay? And if they want to find out more about it, they need to come to the Arlington Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Okay.
If they can't come to the Arlington Seventh-day Adventist Church, they get on the internet.
They're lost forever?
I think the first thing I would say would be, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, part of the Trinity, and He is my salvation. And then I would tell them about the Sabbath day. I think I would let them identify with the fact that I believe the same thing they believe.
Okay.
But then I would bring in the reality of it.
Okay.
Are you saying that it's absolutely necessary to be a Seventh-day Adventist before you're saved? When you talk to them.
Yeah. See, y'all laughed at me. Y'all laughed when I said there's truth.
I had to go back to this woman.
There's truth, and there's truth that matters.
Yeah.
Okay, got Charles, got Norman, then we have Miss Tingle.
I said Seventh-day Adventists believe in the entire Bible as it is, in the main principle that God is love and that we should love one another and love God, and those are the principles. And then if they want to go further and ask what the doctrines are, then I might get into what the doctrines are.
Okay. Well, they're saying Kerrville.
I think it may be important to find out what their question is. Ask them more where they're at, what they know already.
We'll come back to that. If I miss that one, come. Let me make sure I come back to that.
Okay, but we want to find out really what they want to know. They're enrolling their child in a school that is an Adventist school, right? Yeah. Okay, they want to know how you expect to impact that child.
Okay.
They want to know how you're going to be teaching.
Okay. Jan?
I think, actually Charles answered The original question was, what did we say? And the truth is, every one of us in here are rehearsing what we all always say, because I get asked the question all the time, and I say exactly what Charles said. I say, I'm a Christian. I say, we are Christians first, who believe in the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, because that's God's instructions for the lifestyle that would be the best lifestyle for us. Because it's all about the law of God's love. Okay. And then from there, a whole bunch of questions are asked. But they always really, what they're really asking is, I see you get up every Saturday, get dressed, and go to church. What is that all about? Okay. So we cannot omit the Sabbath, to me. We cannot omit talking about it, because that's the thing that people see that's different.
Okay.
I think it's really important to recognize the person you're talking to as a Christian also believes in Christ and feel like that they are just as saved as you are saved.
Okay.
Not always, but the same thing. John didn't, he left out Christ's lineage, but they already had that information. So it may be important information, but he didn't.
He didn't highlight it.
He didn't review it.
Didn't highlight it. Okay. All right. Now, I've got it. Yes.
I must admit, whenever I see somebody that's really happy and they just look like they've got it together, and I say, wow, I really admire that person. I'd like to know what makes them tick. I really haven't gone up to them and asked them, what is it that you eat? How much tithe do you pay? Or what day do you go to church? You know, that may be some of those things that don't quite matter. I want to know really what makes them so happy.
Yes.
Jesus said, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Okay. All right, let's go to the life of Christ himself. I think that's the best answer. Well, what answers did he give?
I'm about my Father's work.
Okay. What sermons did he give on Sabbath keeping? Do you see that his sermons on Sabbath keeping was, at most every one of them, was he was breaking the Sabbath? Do you understand that? His sermon was to break the Sabbath and to break it deliberately. Pardon?
He was keeping it at the same time. He was showing them something else.
Absolutely.
I have to take exception to that. He was breaking the Pharisees' idea of what the Sabbath was, not God the Father's Sabbath.
Well, that's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly correct. But in the mind of the religious leaders, he was breaking it. So what sermon did he preach on the Sabbath?
He exemplified what the Sabbath is all about.
And what was that?
Still loving God, and loving God is serving others.
Then why would our message be any different? You're going to find in John, John's writing his epistle, his last shot at some of these churches, and he says two things, and two things only throughout this book. God is light, and God is what?
Love.
Love. Now, why in the world would we want to add anything to this to a man who's writing in desperation to a church? Now, let's go back to what Norman said. Because when I'm a sales trainer, been a sales trainer for 22 years. My business is teach people how to overcome objections. Okay? So let me tell you, how does this sound? Why do I need a security system? Because you are an idiot. Tell me about your church. We have all the truth. What have we just done?
Oh.
See? Go back and look at way Jesus. Sir, who are you that you would ask me for a drink of water? Well, I'm the Messiah. You didn't say that at all. Best way to handle Well, tell me what the Seventh-day Adventists think. Tell me what do Seventh-day Adventists believe. Is what do you think that Seventh-day Adventists believe? Somebody says, why do you think I need a security system? What's the immediate answer? Why do you think that you need one? You see, the bad salespeople start grasping for something to say. Well, you need this because 2 out of 3 break-ins are dead. There's a break, blah, blah, see? It doesn't do any good. What do you think? Remember, most important thing, if I say it, it could be or couldn't be. If you say it, what is it? It's a fact. I think to me, I can only work on myself. That's all I can work on. Tried working on Sue, failed miserably, so I'll go back working on myself. Seventh-day Adventists believe that our God loves all of us. He's demonstrated through the life of Christ at Calvary how much we are loved. He wants a relationship with Him. And we believe, as Seventh-day Adventists, as you look to the cross and you look to Christ and develop that relationship, the Spirit will lead you into all truths. What other message is there? That's why this quarter is very, very important to understand. That until you know God, none of it matters. So is there truth and truth that matters? Absolutely. Absolutely. Seventh-day Sabbath, is that a truth? Absolutely. What did it do for the Pharisees? How? Led them to eternal damnation. It became their idol. They had Baal, and they just switched it out for a day. And this is exactly what John is getting across in this epistle. Listen, that's why I like Phillips. He understood it very well. He came back. Do you understand? He says, when I'm writing this, you wonder about Jesus. I saw Him. I looked at Him. In the Greek, that word look is gaze. It's one as gaze upon for hours intently trying to get every piece of knowledge you can get. It's just not a casual glance. And then He says, I touched Him. What other message, what other witness can we give to anybody other than I've seen Him, I've touched Him, and He's been in my life, and this is what He's done for me? If a man's hungry for food, what do you give him? Food. If he's going through a divorce, outside of the 2300 days, which I'm now a worldwide known expert on, what do you do? Tell them what they've done wrong? Hand them a pamphlet? See? There is truth that matters. There is only one truth that matters. And that's to know Jesus Christ. Everything else makes no difference if you don't know Jesus Christ. Tithe paying make your life a little bit better? Certainly. Eating the right meats? Certainly. Keeping the Sabbath? I guess if you get away from work, it's good. As I shared last night, used to despise the Sabbath when I grew up. Parents go to bed for a couple of hours and take a nap. My brother and I sitting there looking at each other, didn't dare watch TV, didn't dare turn the radio on, didn't dare go out and play basketball, sitting there, and I'm supposed to like that day? Give me a break. You see, we want to define ourselves in a corner. We say all the right things. As my daddy and I used to have great discussions on righteousness by faith. Bless his heart. And I would think I was getting somewhere with him. And then about the time I thought he had it all correct, he'd say, "Well, you know, I see what you're saying, but you still got to keep that Sabbath to get to heaven." Do you see that's ingrained in a lot of us? That is not the high point. It is not the vocal point. It is not the mainstream. It is not the center of our church. It's Jesus Christ. And when we get to the point, and Ron said it quite well, go back to Ron a second. Sue said something last night that I listened to and I just kind of blew it off, but then I got thinking about it. She says, "You know, several of the people who have witnessed the most for Christ to me have been non-Adventists." Interesting statement. Yes.
For several years, I've worked with adoptive parents of older children. And I keep trying to tell them, if you want this child to accept your value system, you have to try to build a relationship.
That's right.
And I'm talking about children that don't have that value system when they're 8, 9, 10, 12 years old. You've got to build a relationship if you want them to, to accept what your belief system.
What, and I appreciate it. What happens if somebody said to you, "Well, what does Seventh Adventist believe?" And you said, "Well, first of all, we have a prophet." What happens?
"Well, we got one too."
Wow, what a common ground to start out a conversation on. Go back and study the techniques of Christ in the four Gospels. Outside of the Pharisees, who knew it all, outside of the Pharisees, He met the people on the ground that they were on. And He preached no sermons. He was a great question asker.
He said, "Oh, the sheep have out which are not of this fold."
Our job is not to convert people to keep the seventh day Sabbath. So if that's not our mission, then when asked what we believe, what do we think, why would we want to surface that near the top if it's not our mission? Our job is to not make tithe payers of everybody. Our job is not to have them accept or reject the writings of Ellen White. Our job is just what John said. "I've seen Him, I've touched Him, I've listened to Him, I was face to face. He is God. And walk in the light and love one another and love God." And that's the message He had in a very critical time of the church. Why would ours be any different? Within our own church and outside of our church. Comments? Yes.
Just this week, a guy, he said, come here, why are you always so happy? And I simply said, you know what, I know that God loves me and I'm exactly where he wants me to be. I mean, because I work in a really fast-paced, challenging environment. And he said, well, I know that your job is so hard. I said, but the Lord already said he's not going to give me anything more than he, apparently he believes I can handle this. So he has not given me any more than I can handle. And he loves me so much that I don't have the answers, but I know who has the answers.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And he went, that can't be the answer. I said, that really is the answer.
It is the answer. Trent.
I was just going to say something that you've said several times, Ernie. That is, the rules without relationship is oppression.
Yeah.
And we have to have the relationship, and then we ought, once we have that relationship, we automatically start following these rules.
That's right. That's our job, to bring them to Christ. The promise is the Holy Spirit will lead them into all
truths.
It's His job. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to use us. Sometimes He's going to use the Arlington Church. But man, we try to help out the Holy Spirit and try to beat them to the punch and get in those truths without the great truth. Yes?
I've probably already spoken too much.
No, you never speak too much in this class outside of Trent.
I've been married twice. When my second marriage was headed for divorce, I called up my preacher. And he gave me some truth. He said, you know, you swore before God that you wouldn't leave her. And he said, you have an obligation to stay with her, whether you like it or not. And he said, what makes you think the third one would be any different? And that was some hard truth. And if he'd have just said, you know, Jesus loves you and God is real, it wouldn't have helped me. I needed that truth. And I've been married 15 years now.
Congratulations.
And more importantly, so it's still sheep.
Okay. That's right.
That truth that he gave me is what I needed. And not to diminish that Jesus is Lord and all that.
Mm-hmm. No.
But I needed that truth at that time.
Can appreciate that. Never please understand, in case there's any misunderstandings, I am not diminishing the truths whatsoever. God gave them as gifts. He gave them to us as promises. He gave them to us. But our mission is to bring people to God. I'm going to end with a story I love. I know I tell it a lot, but so I tell it a lot. Jesus healed two demoniacs. They spent 30 minutes with him, and then they went off to 10 towns, Decapolis, Deca being 10. And Jesus came back a year later, and there were thousands of converts. In 30 minutes, what in the world could he have talked to them about? He said to them, the message that we have, go back and tell the people, you knew what we were like. We met Jesus Christ. And now you can see what we're like. That is our testimony. This is what John's saying. I touched him. I touched him myself. May we reach out and touch Christ so we can share with others. I've touched him. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the book of John. We're thankful for most of all your patience and your kindness. You know, Father, as we go through life, we sometimes think we're doing the best witnessing we can, but we turn people off. Help us to understand. Our mission is to bring them to you. Let them know your love, your graciousness, your kindness. And as they get to know you, as they study the genuine one, the false starts falling off. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Give us each a good Sabbath. So thankful, Father, for this class. In Jesus' name, amen.